The Bloody Podcassacre with Zach Walters and Kennedy Catherine.
Why does it say there's seven people in here?
It shouldn't.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you? Welcome to the Bloody Podcaster.
That's Zach Walters. I'm Kennedy Catherine.
No, it's Kennedy Catherine. Oh.
And we're having a rough start because we have our first guest today. Very excited to have Ben on the show. Ben, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hey guys, my name's Ben. I'm pretty happy. I would introduce myself as a pretty big Scream fan, so I'm pretty honored that I get to come on when you're doing a Scream movie.
Before we get into like the movie or anything like that, can you tell me a little bit about what it is that you do on your corner of the internet?
Oh, so I run a reaction channel. I say run, I upload amateur videos to YouTube. I just react to music, whether that's an album, a song, music video, and I just sit there and I either say, oh my god, this is so good, or oh, I'm not vibing this one, and I put it on the internet and people watch it, which is a very weird concept to me still.
I'm one of those people.
Are you the biggest fan, Zach, of all the fans?
Oh yeah, I'm usually like right there for the first watch.
You did a review of Scream, so do you often do movie reviews or just like for things that you really care about?
Yeah, that was the first one I've ever done. So no, I don't really do them, but I love the Scream franchise, and obviously with the Scream 5 coming out, I was so hyped. So I wanted to, I guess, commemorate the moment by, I guess, just getting all my thoughts down after I'd watched the film. So no, it's not something I normally do, but I wanted to do it for Scream.
Are you generally like a horror fan?
Yeah, I love horror. Love horror movies. It's kind of what I grew up listening to, watching, not listening to. So yeah, I love horror movies.
What's your favorite, like, what's your niche? What's your genre within the genre that you're into?
Like, Scream would be my favorite franchise of all time. Mm-hmm. I really do love, like, say, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like, those really creepy, I love, like, House of Wax. I know you guys just did that one. Mm-hmm. I love fake towns, like, that are run by all the, like, inbred kind of people. I just love that fake town horror movie vibe. But, I guess Scream would be my all-time favorite for sure.
And I know that Ben has some words to say regarding our first Scream episode. He says that we did it a disservice.
Everybody has a lot to say about that episode. So go ahead, just drag me.
It was just a choice. I think it's hard because when you watch Scream, it's quite a parody now. I think Scary Movie really did it. It really kind of screwed it over. A lot of people who watch Scream remember a Scary Movie rather than Scream for what the horror movie was.
Right.
But watching it drunk, I guess, would be fine if you weren't reviewing it.
Okay, yeah, fair.
it was fun even though I was reviewing it. I can tell you that.
Nah, it was still good. It was still a good podcast.
It's a movie that I know so well. It was truly one of the first movies that got me into horror. I'll speak for myself. I know Zach sort of feels the same way. But when something is like a fairly cut and dry studio film, not like a Blair Witch Project kind of thing, it is a little bit harder to really get into it. And so in my head, I was like, well, Scream is just one of those studio films. And then people were so upset because people are really big fans of what Scream meant culturally and for the horror genre, which I totally understand. My first public apology for doing Scream a disservice. I still stand by that episode. I think it's hilarious, but I am also biased.
Yeah, I also think it's one of my favorite episodes, and I am also biased because I am in it and I am drunk. But we will never revisit that, so.
No. What was your first experience with the franchise?
Oh, God, I have this vivid memory of when I was in England with my cousin. This is maybe when I was like 10 or 11. So Scream, and I think it wasn't even Scream. It might have been Scream 2 or 3. Just being terrified of this freaking ghost face mask. Like, I remember watching some of it with my cousin. So Scream came out, what, 96, 97, 2000. So, yeah, it's either the second or third one that I think I was actually watching. And I was just terrified. Like, I literally had like nightmares for days. And it wasn't until I was a bit older, like maybe, I don't know, a teenager, that I actually got to watch Scream, the original. And it was just like getting it out from a video store, hiring it. So it's that very like quintessential 90s vibe, I guess, that I have with it. So I don't, yeah, I think that's the only kind of real pinnacle moment I have of the memory of first being exposed to it. I couldn't even tell you, like, watching it for the first time, I couldn't even remember it now. But I guess for me growing up, like, I introduced my brother and sister to it, so like we're all quite big fans, so we all like we rewatch them all the time. Like if we've got nothing to watch, we'll just chuck on Scream or Scream 4 or whatever. So it's just kind of like always there, regardless of actually taking it as a horror, but it's more just a comfort kind of thing for me now. Hanging with Sid, Gale, Dewey, the gang.
They really do feel like they're probably the only characters in a horror movie that I have like a very emotional affection for. You know, there's horror movie characters that you love for being a villain or for being a final girl, but I'm like, oh no, these are my friends. Like,
Yeah.
I love them like friends.
It's very much that. And you just, I think, yeah, it just, I guess, because their character development was so strong in that first movie, you just have such a, yeah, strong attachment to them.
Gale Weathers was like the reason I decided to go into broadcasting when I was choosing a school. I was like,
Yes.
I think I need to be like a Gale Weathers level of journalist.
Yeah.
Zach, what was your first experience?
I remember, and I don't know if this is just like my niche small hometown, but my first experience of Scream was during Halloween when everybody would have the ghost face mask that would drip blood with like the pumps underneath. And I was absolutely terrified of those. Like, I really thought people had blood in their like masks and in their knives. I was like, this is it for me. I'm fully gonna die in this school gymnasium. Turns out didn't. Yeah, and I don't remember like the first time I watched, but then I remember there was a summer where my friends and I watched like the second, third, and fourth like back to back, and that was really fun because it's nice to have movies that like are good. They are good, but like that they flow together well, even though the fourth is kind of rocky, but
Babe, Scream 4 is literally the second best one in the franchise. Oh my God,
No.
no, I know this is the thing.
Absolutely not.
This is the thing. Scream 4 gets such a bad rap. Without Scream 4, you wouldn't even have Scream 5, which I don't know if actually I want
Which I mean,
credit.
maybe is a good thing.
Yeah, I'm like, don't
My
really want to give it that credit.
no, my second favorite is Scream 3, which I think is probably an unpopular opinion as well.
Yeah, I get it, but it's not really in that franchise.
I feel there's a sense of removal to the first one and the fifth one for me now because they are very teenage centric, which is very fun. Like taking myself back there, but something about Scream 3 being set in Hollywood, I'm pretty sure that's when we get our Carrie Fisher cameo. I loved that shit. That just felt like exactly my vibe, my environment. Like that's the energy that I love out of a movie. There's just something more nostalgic about the high school of it all, but I liked the Hollywood set.
Yeah, I think like Scream 3 is awesome. I just think with every Scream movie, it's always kind of fallen victim to, you know, Hollywood, like as in the real Hollywood, or you know, like the film studio set. Like there's always just something that's always kind of stopped it doing exactly what it should have done. So like I love Scream 3 for different reasons, but I'm like, oh, it just could have been done like so much better. But yeah, it's still awesome for what it is. I mean, it's sick. I think it's the only franchise in the whole of the horror genre that's got sequels that, while they might not be amazing, they're still solid movies to watch. Like, I don't think there's another franchise that could claim that.
I feel like that goes for all kind of franchise movies where the first is that pinnacle, really good one, and then like the other ones are great, but they just will never live up to what the original was. And the only thing that I can think of off the top of my mind that I'm like, the first was shit, but the rest were better, but then they still got worse, was The Purge.
I
So
don't
yeah,
think
I
I
never
even
really got into
saw a
that.
second. Yeah, no.
First one, just, you know, it had such like a good build up with like the concept and the like characters and like how it was going to play out, but it didn't execute it well in the movie. But then the second one, they kind of learned from that and they like really like hit the nail on the head and like did a really good movie. And then the third onwards is like, man, we already saw the good and the bad of it, so.
Right. I think there's probably something to be said for the idea that if a concept is like pretty outlandish, but also very much set in society in the way that a purge is, you're taken out of it a little bit with the unrealistic aspects of it, like trying to conceptualize a world that we live in where a purge is happening is kind of hard. It's hard to suspend disbelief. But then by the time there's a second film, it's probably easier to just like relax into the idea of it. I can't think of any other horror franchise where the second movie or the sequel is better than the first.
Twilight, that was pretty good.
I hate you.
And New Moon, am I right? That was so good.
New Moon, I just watched New Moon like 2 months ago. God, it was so bad. It was so bad.
The chokehold that those movies had, and yet you watched them and you're like, what is this even? It's kind of like soft porn for teens. Even though it's not sexual, it's like very sexually charged.
Isn't it? Oh no, I was like, isn't it fanfic? But then, or is there movies based on Twilight that is fanfic?
That's 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, right. It started as a Twilight fan fiction.
Right, I haven't watched that, so yeah.
Okay. Me neither.
There's also those, I think they're like called After, but they're based off of Harry Styles fan fiction.
What?
Yeah, I want to say it's like After and then like After You. I don't even remember. I just remember seeing like a trailer and being like, this is Harry Styles fanfic. And I was like, I cannot.
Dude, I wrote some fucking fan fiction back in the day. Now, if only somebody could find that and be like, we're turning this into a feature-length film, I would be rich.
Should we try to dig it up from the internet?
It's still there. It is still there.
I'm sure somebody, either through like one of your TikTok viewers or someone will find it.
Oh, for sure. I quite literally, I'm not even joking. The second that I blew up even a little bit on TikTok, I had a TikTok that was specifically about how I used to write fan fiction. I went and found my account and changed the name of it so that it was 0% traceable, because I was like, I know what's going to happen. Someone is going to go on a mission and they're going to find this and I will never live it down, because I was absolutely 13 and like writing smut.
No shame in that.
Okay, so before we really get into dissecting this, should we just review the plot real quick?
Yes, I do have one horror news, which I kind of want to touch on because it is related to Scream 5. So they announced this past week that Hayden Panettiere, is that how you say her last name?
I think so.
Panettiere is reprising her role as Kirby Reed in the next installment of Scream. She was back in 2011 in Scream 4 as one of the Woodsboro High School students, and was like a huge horror fan, like her character, not Hayden. I don't know what Hayden's like. They haven't really said anything of how her character is going to like fit into the next movie, but it's supposed to be it's supposed to start shooting next month with the release of March 31st, 2023. I'm kind of excited for that because I love Hayden. Kennedy and I had a brief conversation about this prior to recording. The Cove with her Dolphin movie tore me to shreds.
Yeah, that was a cultural moment.
Ben, did you ever see The Cove? Oh,
no, I haven't. Sorry.
Oh, you know what? Don't. Save your time. It'll ruin you emotionally.
Can somebody please remind me what her character was in Scream 4? Like, I don't even remember her being there.
Oh my god, that is sacrilegious.
I know, I'm so sorry. This is like
I was like screaming when I read this on Instagram. I was like posting all about it. I was just like Googling Kirby Reed and looking at photos of her. she's like the she's like the final girl of Scream 4. She is she's like the funny one. She's like, get out of my house, and like I have powers, and she's like, she's got a drink and all the ice is rattling around. She's like, you know it. Like she's the girl.
Okay, I do remember. That movie just does not exist to me. I need to revisit it.
I need to revisit as well, because I thought she was only in the beginning in that like roulette of like people watching the movie, watching
Yeah, the intros. No, I think if you watch Scream 4 now, you'll appreciate it more after seeing Scream 5, and you'll realize that what Scream 4 was is what Scream 5 is really trying to be, but it just didn't hit the mark. Because at least with Scream 4, you still got the character building of it, like the cast, whereas Scream 5, which I'm sure we'll go into, it's so one-dimensional. It's literally just a classic Netflix horror movie.
As someone who has a better memory and understanding of Scream 4, was Scream 5 kind of poking fun at it?
No, well, Scream 5 pretty much, it gave it, what, 2 references, and it just kind of smothered over. I think Scream 5 just wanted it to be a direct sequel to Scream. But they, I guess, still wanted to put, because they're fans, obviously the directors and whatever, they wanted to put in their little hints and Easter eggs. But I don't think it really spoke much about any of them except Scream and a little bit of Scream 4 in Scream 5. Right.
I thought there was more in my mind. Yeah, I thought it was more related to Scream 4 when I was watching it. But also, my mind did not comprehend that Scream 5 was a movie. Like, watching it yesterday, I was making up plots in my head.
I was imagining better actresses in the lead role, but...
No shit.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
So I'm just going to read through the entire synopsis real quick, and then we will return to our thoughts, feelings, and opinions. All right. So 25 years after Billy Loomis and Stu Mocker's killing spree in Woodsboro, 16-year-old Tara is home alone when she is attacked by Ghostface, stabbed mercilessly, and left hospitalized. In another town, Tara's estranged older sister, Sam, is informed by Wes, one of Tara's friends, about the attack. She returns to Woodsboro with her boyfriend, Richie, where she reunites with Tara and her friends, Wes, Amber, twins Chad and Mindy, and Chad's girlfriend, Liv. That night, Liv's ex-boyfriend, who happens to be Stu's nephew, is killed by Ghostface. At the hospital, Sam is also attacked but left alive by Ghostface. In the aftermath, she tells Tara that she's been dealing with hallucinations of Billy Loomis, who she learned was secretly her biological father. This discovery, when she was 13, resulted in their parents' separation and is the reason Sam became estranged from Tara. Sam and Richie visit our OG, Dewey, now divorced from Gail Weathers. They ask for his help, which he initially refuses before reaching out to Gail and Sidney Prescott to warn them about the return of Ghostface. Eventually, Dewey joins the teenagers at Mindy and Chad's home, who we discover are the niece and nephew of Randy Meeks. Due to the three attacks having targeted people related to the original killers, Sam is accused of being the killer herself. Ghostface then murders Wes and his mother, Sheriff Judy Hicks, at their home. There, Dewey reunites with Gail, who's arrived from New York to cover the story. At the hospital, Tara and Richie are attacked by Ghostface but are saved by Dewey and Sam before Dewey is killed when attempting to finish off Ghostface. Sydney arrives in town after learning of Dewey's death and meets Gail at the hospital. Sydney asks Sam to help stop the killer, but she declines. She chooses to leave town with Richie and Tara, but first they have to stop at Amber's house to retrieve Tara's inhaler. Sydney and Gail follow them to the house revealed to be the home where the original Woodsboro massacre took place. There, Chad and Mindy are both attacked by Ghostface. As Sam tends to an injured Mindy, Amber pulls out a gun and shoots Liv in the head, revealing herself as Ghostface. Fleeing to the basement, Richie speculates to Sam that her sister is Amber's accomplice. Sam leaves him to find Tara and discovers her tied up in a closet. When Gail and Sydney arrive, Amber shoots and injures Gail. Richie then stabs Sam, revealing himself to be Amber's partner. Richie and Amber take Sam, Sydney, and Gail into the kitchen where they reveal that they are fans of the Stab film series. Disappointed in the trajectory taken with the recent Stab 8, they decided to embark on a new killing spree, bringing back the original cast to provide new and improved source material for a future requel, intending to frame Sam as the killer. After Tara fights Amber and Sam attacks Richie, Gail breaks free and shoots Amber, who lands on the stove and sets herself on fire. Sam is injured but sees another hallucination of Billy, which brings her attention to Amber's abandoned knife. Embracing her heritage, she uses the knife to stab Richie repeatedly before shooting him. Amber attempts to attack the group again but is shot dead by Tara. Tara and the Meeks twins are loaded into ambulances to be taken to the hospital, and Sam thanks Sydney and Gail for the help. Gail refuses to write about the new murders and give the killers notoriety, opting instead to write a tribute to Dewey. Sam joins Tara in the ambulance, and the night's events are covered in a news report. And that is Scream 5.
Listen, you reading that back, I was like, there are so many characters in this movie.
A lot.
Can I first just say, why do the writers not know how long 25 years is? So Sam is 23 in the movie. This movie is set 25 years after the original killings. So she cannot physically be 23.
There are like quite a few just like not even necessarily plot holes, but just kind of disregarding information from previous films to make some familial connections where you're like, does this actually make sense? Because it kind of doesn't.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. Like, I think the writing is, yeah, it's a very interesting moment. You can definitely tell that Kevin's really gone from the writing of the movie.
Here's the thing. I found overall that I kind of got bored during this movie because I just felt like there was like not a lot happening.
Oh, disagree.
I agree and disagree. Like, I remember there was like maybe like a 35-minute, 40-minute mark of the movie. I literally in the cinema, I turned to my brother. I went, "This movie is fucking flatlining." Like, I literally said that. And it's because the originals took so, or legacy as they now coin them to be, like, no. I hated about the movie, they just tried to rewrite or just create things that have never been a thing until this movie, which obviously now I always refer to them as the legacy characters because that's what they said. But it was very try hard in that sense. But it took too long for them to come in, considering the marketing behind the movie, like really heavily featuring Sydney. I mean, the first thing I hate about the movie was the fact that they called it Scream. And I get from a marketing point, putting numbers in the things and whatever. But just now when people go, oh, I watch Scream, you have to go, oh, which one? And it's just like infuriating to a fan of a franchise, which is so iconic. So that was just, I guess, where they went wrong the first for a fan in my eyes.
Yeah, I don't know why they disregarded it and didn't call it Scream 5. Because in some other countries, I was looking, it is titled Scream 5.
It's just America, right? They don't... Well, I guess because Halloween's done so well with their Halloween Resurrection kills and all that crap. I suppose on a marketing point, it makes sense. I get it. But it just is annoying on a chronological kind of thing.
And, like, why couldn't you just add, like, a subhead? You know, it's Scream, but it's Scream, you know, Revisited, whatever the word might be. That would be reasonable. So that you're right, because now... For a newer generation, oh, I saw Scream, you are going to have to be like, well, which one?
I mean, I guess that goes the same, like, what Ben was saying regarding Halloween. Because we had the original Halloween series, and then we had the reboot of Rob Zombie's, which was Halloween also. But then now this new reboot is just Halloween, but then they have Halloween Kills and Halloween, so...
Right. Just circling back to, like, the sort of how long the pacing took and to introduce the older characters or the legacy characters, I didn't have many expectations of this movie. I think having watched it kind of post the release of it and when the marketing was still really happening, I kind of wiped it from my brain. It was a weird thing with this movie because I am a really big fan of the original and I was really excited when the fourth came out, but this one just kind of didn't. I think maybe because it's the fifth, I was like, we'll see. So I actually had like zero expectations and I really, really enjoyed the tone of it. I liked the lightness of it, which I know has been a criticism by some people. I kind of had this feeling like they could just bring in Neve Campbell and Courtney Cox for like 5 minutes if they wanted to, because I was told that the marketing was misleading. So I was kind of like pleasantly surprised when they were as big of roles in the third act at the very least.
Yeah, I think it wouldn't. I think the biggest thing for me is that the movie wouldn't have felt like that if Sam and what's her name? Melissa Barrera? I don't even know how to say her name. If she A, auditioned for the movie, which she did not, I hasten to add, she can't act. In this genre, I've never seen her other stuff, but it was so tone dead. Like when she's like, some guy in a mask like killed people. It's like, cool, bro. Like, are you serious? It was. I think that for me was that was the biggest thing that really let it down. It was her acting, because everyone else around her, while they might not have had the depth or, you know, character development, I still believe their characters more than I believed her throughout the whole movie.
She was truly so uninteresting to watch.
I really wish that Tara would have been the main, like, protagonist of the whole film and, like, not just stuck in a hospital.
Agreed.
I mean, I like Jenna Ortega, but I found her character to also just kind of be like, meh. Like, she is objectively a better actress, but I was the big fan of Mindy. I really wanted Mindy to have some moments in the third act, but then she just kind of gets injured and, like, goes away. But she was the one person that I found, like, actually sort of engaging, because being given a monologue like she was given to explain requels is actually kind of hard to pull off in, like, an interesting way. And when the writing just kind of wasn't that great, she kind of killed it. And I was like, oh, I wish that you would have been a bigger role in this, because the rest of you guys are just fine, like, kind of boring.
Agreed.
That's, like, see, the problem, like, that's where I think I kind of got bored in this movie, is because, like, for the first 30 minutes, we are, like, are introduced to all of these people. They're all kind of abandoned for, like, 50-ish minutes of the movie, where we see one of them, but then they die, and then you see another one, and then they die. It's just, like, the final girl going to fetch the original legacy characters. It needed something else to, like, weave in between the main plot, I feel, to make it, like, all fit together, because it's just like three separate chunks of a movie. Like, the three acts are very different.
Yeah, like, what it needed is for them to actually die. Like, no one died in this movie. And, like, my brother actually got a replica of, like, a real legitimate Buck 120 knife. They are so sharp, and if you actually watch any Scream movie, you get stabbed once, you're dead. The dude, like the twin, he gets stabbed like 5 or 6 times. They all survive. Like, this is not what Scream is. We don't need like four final girls slash boys. Like, that's not what Scream has ever been about. It's always been about a surviving, you know, trio or whatever. No one died in this movie.
Tara should have been dead 15 times.
Oh my God, that knife through the hand was like, I'm like, how are you alive?
The part where I like, the opening sequence I actually really enjoyed. I was like into it, and then it kind of like I dwindled from there. But that scene where she gets her hand stabbed by the knife, but then also when she gets her ankle slash lower part of her leg stepped on. Yes. Like, that's one thing that I can like really commend about this movie is that the gore is like top notch.
I guess I wasn't aware of how much gore has changed, because in my mind, the original does a good job with it. But then when you watch this, I found it a little bit jarring. Oh, wow. This is actually showing me that maybe the originals, though there is a lot of blood present, we're actually not seeing that much.
Yeah, that's true. I agree.
Hey, sorry. I don't know. It just cut out.
We just were talking about, I asked the question, who is your favorite character of the new, and then who was your favorite to revisit?
Oh, I think my favorite was Wes. I don't know if that's just real sentimental reasons, and I really didn't want him to die. But I love Judy, Officer Judy. Absolutely loved going back to her and just seeing, you know, her being this little sheriff now. Again, where it fell is just that connection with her and Dewey. Like, she was infatuated with him in Scream 4, and they, you know, worked together on this horrendous Woodsboro massacre reboot killing, and then there's just that real disjoint with their character. But I think, you know, that's down to the writing and them not knowing how to incorporate the old characters with the new ones, like, I guess, in a familiar way. But I love Wes. I think he's the only one. Oh, I really liked, what's the killer's dude name? This is how, I've only watched it twice,
Richie.
This movie. Richie, he was funny in just when he was like, when Sid opens the cupboard and he's like, you're shooting, why would I come out when you're shooting your gun? I think he was the only time where I genuinely laughed, where it wasn't a, we're all suspects, haha, like, this is so funny. Like, it just, he was the only one where it actually gave me an organic, like, laughter, I suppose.
I mean, the entire movie is pretty formulaic in the sense that it really mirrors the first. You know, Zach, when you were talking about how, you know, you have all these characters that you're introduced to and then it's sort of like disjointed, it is very similar to the first one in that sense. It's just somehow the first one really pulls it off. But I do feel that they had Richie and Amber like kind of trying to mirror Billy and Stu's characters, like one being very grounded and then one kind of being like this heightened comedic relief almost. But I didn't find her to be that way. I thought, if anything, Richie would have been a better like mirror of Stu, because he at the very least had moments where I was like, oh, I think you could be genuinely funny.
Yeah, I didn't find her funny at all.
I didn't even enjoy any, I enjoyed nothing about her as a character.
See, I've never been able to guess who the killer is, but I'm not really when I watch a movie, I really just immerse myself and I just take everything they say to me and I believe and buy it, except in this movie. But did you guys know who was going to be the killer? Or like, had you guessed who was the killer before they revealed themselves?
I didn't, which I was really surprised. Like, when Amber brought out that gun and shot the girl, I like was shocked. I was like, whoa, okay, we're starting it. Which was like a good surprise. I was okay with Richie as the second. I kind of wish it was someone else, but it makes sense that it's him. I'm one of those people who like, I like to guess and like figure out plots of movies while I'm watching them. I have this weird sense of being like, I figured it out. I watched that movie with Gina Rodriguez the other day called Awake. And within the first 10 minutes, I was like, can I tell you what the plot of this movie is? And they were like, you know already? And I was like, you can just tell what the like twist is.
My partner is like this, and it makes me irrationally angry, because I'm like, just let me enjoy it for what it is. Because I also like to just sort of like take in the information that I'm being given and not think too hard about it so that I can be surprised. And I found this movie that like there were predictions I was able to make, but I kind of forgot them along the way. So when the first like initial, oh, they cloned my phone thing happened with Amber, I was like, I don't think that's how that works. Feels weird to me. It feels weird that it's coming directly directly from your phone. So I kind of suspected her. In my mind, what was going to happen was that it was going to be Tara and Amber had like orchestrated something together, and that Tara was like upset with her sister for having left, that they were orchestrating this whole thing to like bring her back, and then maybe some sort of lesbian thing, because they all kind of make fun of Amber at the beginning. Oh, no guy is good enough for her, and blah, blah, blah. And so I was like, I think these two are up to something. Richie, I kind of suspected a dozen times along the way, but was also sort of surprised when it was him.
Yeah, I definitely thought they were together in the first half of the movie. I was like, okay, this is cool. We're being progressive here. And then it just went a bit odd. Like, she was almost like a real protective best friend, but then again, that storyline was just kind of tossed aside. And then it was just that. I guess, it's the boyfriend. It's always the boyfriend, as Dewey says. So I don't know why, but I guess you always are probably thinking, oh, it's probably not the boyfriend, because you think it should be the boyfriend. But I definitely like your take there. I think Tara and the other chick should have been. That would have been cool.
Definitely thought it was going to be at least one of the sisters. Just because there were so many times where I was like, okay, we're setting up this, you're the daughter of a serial killer, you're gonna like snap and it's gonna be you and it's gonna be this reveal. But I also thought it was gonna be Tara, because she was kind of laying low, because I mean she was, you know, in a bed majority of the movie.
This is kind of an aside. How did everybody feel about the Billy Loomis hallucination?
Tragic. Like, if you're gonna, I don't know why they even bothered to de-age him. He actually looks better in real life than what they made him look like in Scream 5. And I kind of like spoke about it within myself. I'm like, why would she see him like that? But then I guess if she's seen photos, I guess that's the only way she could do it. But then I don't think his shirt had like stab holes in it from memory. Like, I think it was just a bloody white t-shirt.
I think it had stab holes. It might have. I think maybe I'm just thinking they did, because
I just think also they made him seem, they painted Billy in a really positive light.
Right, this is the thing that was confusing me. I was like, okay, they're almost making him like the angel and the devil on the shoulder guiding her. And it's like they're giving him this super positive light, but he's a fucking serial killer. He's the reason this is all happening.
Yeah. He like raped and killed Sydney's mom. Like, hello, this is not okay. And how did he know there was a knife under that, like near the umbrella thing? I was like, what is it? It's just... it was just a bit much. A cool concept, right, but not executed
it
well.
It felt like a cool way to include him, but it was also like deeply unnecessary. Like, he didn't really, when you think about it, serve any purpose. If he hadn't been present, if that hadn't been her dad, it would have fucked with the whole like, oh, they're killing people connected to the family. But like, they could have found any other thing. I thought that they were at the very least going to bring in her sort of mental, the question of her mental her capacity. Sanity. Yeah, like into question a little more. And they just never did.
There was just not enough time for them to do it. Like, they tried to do too much. And I get it's awesome that the directors and that are fans. And, you know, for a fan movie, I would probably say it's one of the only franchises where they've had some people come in and just give us everything we wanted. You know, like having Tatum's ashes in Dewey's house. Like, there was a lot of fan service stuff, but I think they just needed to edit it. Like, what did they really want to do? And then I guess save the other stuff if they got to do another movie.
When he like first showed up, was it in the back of her car?
No, I think it's in the hospital.
Yeah, he was right behind her when she...
At first I was like, wait, are we pretending that he's alive still? And then he was like, oh, no one's going to believe you because you haven't taken your meds. And I'm like, girl, just take your meds. Second, I just like, I don't know, it just didn't feel like, I know I'm just reiterating what you guys just said, but it just doesn't feel necessary at all.
No, it was just, again, fan service. But when it kind of leaked that he was going to be in it, I think actually Judy, Officer Judy, leaked it on Instagram. Like, she tagged everyone, but she tagged him, and then it was like deleted the next day. So that's how it obviously all got out. But I think I say the people I've watched, you know, YouTubers who talk about it, they were all expecting more so flashback scenes, which again would have been quite hard with how they de-age, I suppose, and their budget of $24 million for the whole movie. But I think, yeah, just again, when she took her meds, she literally changed. I'm like, you're literally the same person without your meds and with your meds, girl, because you have no range as an actress. So what are you doing?
Fucking drag her.
I hate her.
Yeah, it was not good. They had to have some awareness of the fact that the de-aging didn't do all that much. And at that point, it's sort of like, why does he have to show up in this form? Like, I understand that she might not necessarily know exactly what he looks like. Him in her mind doesn't really have to look like anything. Like, we don't have to replicate what he looked like in that final scene. He could show up auditorily even without physically giving us this thing that takes you out of the moment, because you're like, this just looks like a weird halfway version between like him as a 17-year-old and then him as a father.
Yeah, and also there was no bullet hole in his forehead. So if she was looking at photos of him in that outfit, he absolutely would have had a bullet head, because it would have been post the killings. Right.
So. Also, how the fuck was she shocked in the town that she grew up in that final scene was happening in the house where it all started? You would fucking know that.
That house would be infamous. Mm-hmm. It would be visited by everyone. Also, speaking of the house, I didn't really realize. I guess it looked a bit different in the movie, but it wasn't until I saw it side by side. It was all just set. That's, I think, what added to this film. It was all so fake and just didn't feel authentic, because they weren't real sets. Like, that house was remade. So they shot all that just on a set, not actually at the house. So again, it just became a real cliche, modernized horror movie. And I don't know if I'm jumping around here, but like, it was definitely a COVID movie. Mm-hmm. It was so closely shot. There were no extras. There was no like long chase scenes. There was nothing that was bigger than, I guess, the perimeters of what they could film in, which isn't their fault, but I don't know, wait a little while. I just think it was just a very COVID film, and you can just definitely tell that just from, I guess, how it's shot. Oh, that's just how they shoot and they're terrible directors. I don't know.
I didn't put my finger on exactly that. When you put it in that way, I can definitely see that that feeling of like something is slightly off is definitely could be attributed to that.
And one thing I read online was that somebody commented like that the sets have no character.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very flat. That is 100%
it. And I think that's down to like the filming. Like if you watch, say, go back to Scream, you'll see from like, I don't know, point A, you pan over, I don't know, a playground, a school, like you pan over so much and you get to really, Woodsboro feels mm-hmm. like a real mm-hmm. place. Whereas, and I know I keep saying like a Netflix or a, like a modern film, but it just feels so like just fake. It doesn't feel real. And you only get that connection because you see Sid, Gale and Dewey. If they were removed from this, like this would not be a Scream movie. This would just be any run-of-the-mill horror movie where people are getting killed.
Well, that's exactly like the new Texas Chainsaw movie. If you would have
that
just,
was funny.
If you replaced Leatherface, it's not even a Texas Chainsaw movie.
Did you guys watch the Scream series at all?
Yes.
I only watched a couple of the episodes. I gave up because I kind of was like, this is not the vibe.
It kind of had that vibe. And I remember specifically when we were in Wes's house, which the kitchen had some nice character, I will say. There was lots of shit going on in there. But when he was looking out a window at one point and there was just kind of like a generic bush or tree, I was like, man, we just like haven't really seen any of that charm and that character of what we came to know as Woodsboro, the town.
In relation to that, the Marco not doing the score, I think that played a huge impact on it as well. And I know they put in Dewey's theme when Dewey came on, but the music just didn't feel eerie. It didn't have, you know, those like pianos, like just like tinkering or it. Yeah. I get that it is their movie and they still want to put their mark on it. But I think when the music of Scream franchise, I think is so pinnacle and it's almost its own character, just as, you know, as iconic as Ghostface, that without that and then changing the way you're filming, it just, yeah, it totally changes the mm-hmm. vibe of, I guess, what the franchise set out to be in the start.
The moment that I got the most hyped was definitely toward the beginning when that girl's ex-boyfriend gets killed outside the bar, and in the car they're playing Red Right Hand by Nick Cave.
Yeah.
I got so excited because that song I still listen to all the time when I'm working out. It screamed to me and I was so excited, and then they just kind of like dropped anything auditory in that way.
Also, it's funny that you call him that girl's boyfriend. You know that that's Stu's nephew.
Stu's nephew, yeah. I couldn't remember a single thing about him.
But no, that's that's the comedic side of it. It's like, okay, so this guy is related to one of the original killers and he's literally, what's the point of his character? Like, why is he here?
Mm-hmm.
One part that I want to talk about, which is like, I'm sure happens in the other movies, I just can't remember. When the sheriff is rushing back to her house because they're like, Wes is about to die, you're gonna be late, whatever, and she's being stabbed on her walkway out front, why?
Not a single person.
Why does nobody, which you've had four incidents of killers in your town, come out and help or check? Or maybe they're just like, you know, I'm going to take a step back. I guess it's the time of year.
Because they're at work.
Yeah, great.
Woodsboro must be a really big town because when she called them, they arrived so long after.
So long.
Like, this is the sheriff calling. This is the sheriff of this town. And that's the response, right? I'm like, what else was happening in this town? That you all couldn't get there for.
There's so many just like random illogical things. You know, when she talks about how she finds the diary upstairs in the house that tells her that Billy is her dad, I'm thinking to myself, if I have kept my 16-year-old diary and I'm living in my house with my kids and my new husband and I know that diary is talking about how I fucked some guy from school and gave birth to his illegitimate child, like that thing's going in the river. I'm not keeping it in the house.
She wants to keep it close to home. Yeah,
she wants to read it a lot, you know, relive the memoirs.
Mm-hmm, the time she had sex with a serial killer.
Haven't we all?
Well, yeah, and I'm just like, it just kind of really sets up the next movie. I'm like, oh, I just really don't know what direction it's going to go in now, because again, we're going to now need a whole backstory of her tragic life and her mother and all that tragedy. But now you're going to try and bring in, like, I don't know if the other, no one else has signed on actually, Courtney and Nev yet. But there's already rumors that Dewey is going to be in it.
How?
I don't know. Well, I mean, Billy was in this.
True.
One. Come on, girl.
True. Good point.
And Dewey's literally been stabbed in every single movie. I kind of want him to be alive, just like they kept him under wraps, you know, for his protection. I would actually just love that. Speaking of Dewey, how did that girl lift up that man with two knives and like gut him?
That is the question of the entire fucking movie. That it's the same thing with Scream 4 too. Like,
however, all the other screams, there's no one that you can really say that is the person doing right. It. Like, there's no way you could say when Emma Roberts was killing someone, because it's never really shown. But this one, she takes like so much glee in it, like that it's like, okay, well, you did that. So they really, you can't like suspend belief anymore, because you know for sure that she's the one that did it. Whereas the other ones, you could go, oh, it could be or it might not be. But yeah, these 5'2" girls, no offense, I'm all for girl power, but you couldn't have done that, sis.
Yeah, I'm 5'3", and I would like to think that I'm a pretty fucking strong lady. First of all, I'm not.
Imagine Kennedy,
I could never do it. I'm 5'11".
Imagine, like, Kennedy, you doing it to me. You taking two knives.
You're 6'2". Yeah, right.
Oh my God, you're giant.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, we stand next to each other, and it looks like a sideshow.
So yeah, just a quick side note there. Unbelievable.
I wrote down 5 of my favorite quotes from this movie.
Tell me.
Actually, there's only 4. So the first one is, we kind of talked about this, Kennedy, but it's when Tara is talking about her favorite scary movies.
Mm-hmm.
And she's saying, The Babadook. It's an amazing meditation on motherhood and grief. It's elevated horror. And I was like, you know what? We get it.
That's basically like the entirety of the Babadook podcast that we recorded, is I basically was crying the whole time about how it's a beautiful commentary on grief.
It's like, okay, this feels targeted towards me.
Is this fucking play about us?
Pretty much. And then I also like when then she referenced at the end, she was like, I still prefer the Babadook. And I was like, you know what? Understandable.
But once again, a moment that could have been so great, because it's not inherently bad writing, but so many of those little things just did not fucking land for me.
No. And the reason that they stick out is because they're so like just out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't just fit in randomly with the conversation. They're just like, there's like a big pause and they're like, I still prefer the Babadook. And you're like, oh, okay.
Sorry to interrupt. I know you're quoting. A good like correlation is when Gail shoots Billy she shoots someone at the end. God, I can't even remember the first one now. But she says, I guess I remember the safety cap that time, you like jackass. Mm. It's like, that's funny because we've only just heard the joke.
Right.
Like, it was literally him going, lol, you forgot this. Whereas that Babadook line, it's like, honey, that was literally an hour and a half ago. Let it go. Like, we're not even thinking about that anymore. So why are you?
Yeah. Comedic timing too. Courtney Cox versus Jenna Ortega. Correct. Like, Courtney Cox all the way.
Yeah.
Another one that when they said it, I literally threw up in my mouth, is when it was at the beginning of the movie. Richie is walking out of the gas station. Who is his girlfriend's name? Who's the Amber? Yes.
No, Tara.
No, the sister.
Tara. Sam. Fuck. It's Sam.
Sam is like, I took your boner pills. And then he goes, you are my boner pills. And I was like, ugh. I was like, you could have used any other line.
It's romance.
Other than that specific. It's modern romance.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it's a straight thing.
True. Not going to relate to any of that.
And then the last one that I like loved is when Gail and Sydney and Amber in the kitchen, and they hit her with what I thought was like a 40 of vodka, and she goes, hand sanitizer? And I was like, one, who is keeping their hand sanitizer in a large glass bottle?
I wondered the same thing.
And then the next shot, she's just like goopy hand sanitizer all over her face. And I was like, what the fuck is happening here?
It's very like Final Destination, that last sequence. It's like the hand sanitizer, the turning on the gas oven or stove so that she's going to light on fire in this like extremely dramatic, pass the torch metaphorical way. Somehow it worked for me, except for the hand sanitizer part. You could have just set her on fire. You could have smashed a bottle of tequila over her head. It would have been the same thing. It's just alcohol.
No, we had to use hand sanitizer in the time of COVID.
But again, it's like them trying to be funny. That hand sanitizer is like, okay, cool. Next.
Burn.
Literally.
Anyways, those are my favorite quotes. Also, when she said, it's a requel.
No. No, you, Gail, she had the most, she was like, hey, listen, new girl. You know, when they say it all goes back to the original, this is the original. I'm like, that's right. Because that Sam, what a fucking disrespectful mole. Like, if you've got, say, put yourself in Woodsboro and you're now a victim. If Sydney Prescott came back, I would be like, oh my God, bitch, you need to help me. Yeah. Like, what do I got to do? I wouldn't be acting like I'm better than her or, you know, like giving her attitude. I'm like, this lady's come back, risked her life, gone away from her kids, and you're just being a bitch to her. I was like, you're trash.
Yeah, seriously, like, Sydney Prescott, do you want me to start you like a GoFundMe? Like, I'll do anything. You've had the most tragic existence.
Yeah, whatever.
But also,
I just don't like that character.
She still comes back, and I'm like, girl, leave it in the past.
Who?
Yeah, but it's because Dewey called her.
I know.
If Dewey called her, she had to come back.
Yeah, it wasn't like because she was coming back to fight evil. She was coming back because she was like, oh, fuck. Dewey's dad gonna go hug my friend Gail.
I guess.
That was such a sad, that like Gail was probably the best actress in the whole movie.
Hands down.
God bless Courtney Cox. I did like that their characters were in the background enough that we gave the new characters a lot of space, but also they never really put Sydney and Gail in a position of losing that much power. When they rolled into that scene and they were like, is this a trap? I was like, oh, love that.
And then she got shot in the stomach.
They get stabbed and shot, and they're literally sitting on TikTok at the end of the movie, just like swiping on their phone. Like,
I know. All the other people are getting wheeled off.
I literally like roll out of bed wrong, and I'm in worse shape than both of them.
Again, it's like, it's those things. It's like, it's funny now to think of it, because it's like, is that just, I don't know, are they trying to say that they're just so untouchable, or is it just so badly written that Gail has been shot and she was useless for half the ending of Act 3, which is now a thing? Like, that was never a thing in any of the other movies, by the way. Just another thing that they just invent for this movie. But then they're just, like, non-affected, just sitting there like a grandma with her bloody blanket around her, like nothing's happened.
She's like, yeah, I have a bullet in my stomach, but guess what? I'm fine. I will throw it up later.
And literally, Sydney is on the phone. She's just, like, scrolling on her phone. I'm like, what are you doing?
They're like, Vinny, we're done that. Like, fuck it. You can't touch me anymore. I'm tired of this. Did anybody feel an ounce of sadness about Dewey? Because I really, like, expected myself to. I was so nostalgic about Dale and Gooey. No. Gail and Dewey were like the only straight couple that I think I have ever, you know, fiercely defended. And then when he died, I just was kind of like, all right.
It's hard because if you didn't watch the trailer, like, you see that moment in the where Gail comes through the police and she's crying. So we're like, why is she crying that hard over someone? But the way he died was so disrespectful.
So disrespectful.
Like a fucking phone call distracts him and he gets stabbed. After he's been through four of these, he wouldn't think just to shoot long range.
I also, was no one else annoyed by the fact that when they were in the hospital and they get the person down, they get Ghostface down and they're all hobbling toward the elevator? Yeah, fucking right that you wouldn't pull the mask off. My first question would be, who the fuck is this?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why none of them ever try to unmask who Ghostface is. I'd be like, get close here, I'm gonna...
Sydney didn't scream too in the car crash, but...
True.
Yeah, when I watched the film, I think I just tried to make myself feel the things that the writers probably intended for me to feel, but didn't. So I just had to take the reins and, like, make myself feel sad. But again, I was just more like, that was pathetic. Like, if that's how you're going to kill a legacy character, that's pretty, pretty disrespectful.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I also feel like it was needed for a legacy character to die. And I knew it wasn't going to be one of the main girls, because they were like, I know they wouldn't bring them back just to kill them. So I kind of had this expectation that like somebody was going to die.
But no, like that's not what Scream, again, it's not what Scream is. They always
I
survive.
know, but I think it's
That's why
because
it's
it's this
so
like
good.
this world of reboots and like requels, as we call them now, that's why I kind of expected it.
As this movie
Yes.
calls it, I'd have never heard
I've
any other movie
never
call
heard that in my life. And you know
that.
what? I'm gonna start saying it now. It's a requel.
Well, I guess that's pretty iconic of Scream. Like, that's what it's known for, right? So I guess they're kind of doing what the original Scream did in that sense. Like, requels, legacy. I now say legacy, like, and I never said that before this movie.
Yeah, I usually just
So I
said
guess
like the
in some
original
aspects, it's
characters.
yeah. Or you say, oh, that old one that's still trying to get some money, they're coming back for another sequel. So I guess in that sense, it's really cool. But I don't know. It's a like I love hate. I'm obviously still gonna love it for some aspects because it is, part of the franchise, but it's almost become what the franchise it is. It's become what the franchise made fun of horror movies in the first
Yes.
place. Like now it's just the fourth sequel, and now it's just, it's a bit far-fetched, but it's still screaming. I guess that's why it's still iconic as well, because it's doing what they started making fun of in the first
Well,
place.
right. It's like Scream. It works because it like openly winks at the audience, you know? It's like no matter how goofy it gets, like the audience is in for the ride. And like it
Yep.
is like a love letter to like a horror slash like even thriller, I would say. Specifically this movie, I found, it faltered a bit, but it still also did that at the same time, like doing that
I think
like
yeah, it
parody.
just yeah, it did it, but and like you said with Mindy's spiel, like her monologue, it just didn't feel authentic. Like when I cannot get over when she said to everyone, I think it was in the bar, she's like, "Yeah, but we're all suspects." I'm like, what are you like? Are you okay, sis? Like, maybe you need Sam's pills because what are you talking about? Why would everyone suddenly be a suspect now? And why are you taking, like, they just didn't take it seriously. They almost took it. Oh, it's hard because the first Scream, when they're at the fountain, they're talking about the murder and they're like, oh, maybe you did it, bud. But it again, there was still some sense of serious behind it because Sid brought it back to, oh, wow, no, this is real. This is like people dying. Tatum's like, ew, I'm trying to eat. Like, I don't want to talk about this. But in this one, it was like they were just like eagerly to learn. And Mindy was just so happy that it was happening. And I'm like, your uncle died. Like, you literally had someone in your family die from this. And
And she's
you
like, oh
just,
my
yeah.
gosh, you
It,
guys.
yeah.
And yeah, the whole like, everyone
Yeah.
here is the suspect. It's like, it works if you're saying it as a joke, but you're saying it seriously. And my question to you is if you genuinely feel that way, why is everyone playing pool in a bar right now?
Again, it's like where Dewey and Randy talk about it in Scream 2. He's like, well, if I'm a suspect, then you're a suspect. They're like, yeah, that's a good point. Like, again, it's just that landing. It's just the delivery, the writing. These actors are just, it's not for them, this genre, unfortunately.
It's a good call. You're right.
Other than Jenna Ortega, I didn't mind her because I also loved her in X.
Is she just a bad actress? No, she's not a bad. Is she just a like a
She's the
like
good and the bad bunch.
a Yeah, she's just a diamond in the rough. Like,
Yeah.
is it what else is there to like compare her to in this
She was the
movie?
best of the worst, essentially. She
Yeah,
also, man, she,
100%.
her age really fucked with my brain because in X, I was thinking, she's in her early 20s. They maybe aged her up in some ways. And then in this movie, I was like, she's like 16. And then she's 19 in real life.
Oh wow, I didn't
Right?
know that. Yeah, I mean that makes it more impressive if she's 19.
The one twin, the boy twin, I don't remember his name. He was in, or he is in the TV series for Love, Simon, which
Oh
is
yeah, I like that.
Love, Victor. And he plays the exact same character. And I'm like, boy, you
Yeah.
gotta, once again, all of these people like to play one character, I find.
Because they have no
And that's
range.
it. Well, even like Jenna
Yeah.
Ortega, her Scream performance was like so similar to X in like the way that she was like terrified. I mean, it's you can't act terrified so many ways, but you can if you're a good actress.
I think that's also partially her face. She has a very innocent, like childish sort of those big eyes.
True.
Speaking of like that how if we're a suspect thing, when he's making out with his girlfriend and he's like, nah, I don't want to leave here because you could kill me. So like, if you legitimately think that about your girlfriend, what is going on?
My only other note is that if Kennedy and I were in this situation, we were both dead. We're dead.
No, I'm Sid. I'm final girl material.
If we got the call in the beginning of like, you need to tell us X, Y, and Z
Oh.
about a horror movie, like, we're gonna be fine.
You're right. But I would also probably freeze up and be like, Stab.
Yeah, but if I have to like defend myself in any way, I'm dead. Like I've come to terms with the fact that if I was ever attacked by a ghost face like figure, it's over for me.
Maybe in that sense, but if I had the movie strength of like that these characters have, I would not stop like killing. Like I'd do what Sam did. Like I would literally keep stabbing until this person's dead. I wouldn't be a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, I wouldn't be like not shooting to kill. I wouldn't be like, I guess I'll stab them in the leg and run away. Like, no, it's over for you. You come for me, I come for you.
I would not stop.
Is there anything that you feel, so in the end of this movie when they're having that conversation of, you know, we love this movie so much that we're like, how could we be acting out of hate? This is so much love for the genre and for the movies. Is there anything, any movie, anything that you think you could go absolutely psychotic over?
No, that's the most unrealistic motive in the history of the world.
It is and it's not, though. There have been actual murders and things that have happened that have been attributed to exposure to horror films or video games. And also this idea of, like, I've been indoctrinated, especially in the last 2 to 3 years, is actually not that crazy. I mean, crazy things have happened, like the storming of the White House because people are on these threads online. I think a conspiracy, what is that word? Conspiracy theorist?
Yeah.
A conspirator,
like, that is more likely than just, like, oh, I fell in love with these movies, and so, like, now I'm going to create a movie for myself.
Yeah, but see, the way you said it makes sense, but they were trying to remake sequel that they didn't like. I think, yeah, like you said, like when you put it like that, I'm like, yeah, that actually does make sense. Like, and you know, I think there were killings based on a Scream movie, or like they attributed it to it, but this one, again, maybe it was just the delivery and how they were about it. It just didn't seem believable. Mm. But yeah, mm-hmm. I guess that stuff absolutely does happen. Like people, I mean, to send death threats to people over, like, you know, something that's happened online or whatever. So I guess, yeah, it definitely could happen. Mm-hmm. Again, really rushed. Like, it was just like a 2-minute thing, whereas, you know, Billy and Stu's or the other people's, there's a lot of history with why they're doing what they're doing. You know, there's something so pinnacle about their motive that it actually makes sense. Like, even Jill in Scream 4, like, see, this is the thing. Scream 4 was ahead of its time. She's like, yeah, I just want to be famous. I want to be famous for being the victim. What are these people doing? They're just doing it to recreate a movie. Whereas I believe Jill Moore, like, who doesn't want to be famous for being, you know, some victim of a mass murdering and you survive and you're the sole survivor? Like
were they going to just like stab themselves? Were they going to be sole survivors? They basically were like, we're going to pin it on Sam. Yeah, but then what? Who are you in this?
Yeah, there was nothing else leading up from it. That's what I mean. Just very rushed. But I think they wasted so much time in the lead up, apparently creating character development, I presume. But they, and then they're like, oh shit, fuck, the movie's nearly, oh my God, let's just chuck it all in. Whereas again, it's just a pacing problem, I think, for them. Mm-hmm. A pacing, a writing, a casting, a directing.
Like, were they also planning on like posting it on like these threads and like on Reddit? Or were they gonna be like, hey guys, look what we did. We did this.
Yeah, like they didn't even, they like, at least in Scream 4, they filmed it. Like, this is what I mean. You guys need to go watch in Scream 4. You'll appreciate it so much more. Yeah,
I think I'm going to.
The only thing, I know I briefly mentioned it, but the fact that Melissa Barrera did not audition for her role is just disgraceful.
So how...
I just wanted to say
how did she get it? Did, like, the cast reach out
she
to
just
her?
She did a Skype interview with the directors, and they just chatted and things like that, and, yeah, she got it. She didn't, like, screen test with anyone. She didn't audition for the role specifically. They kind of approached her.
So what was the basis of that decision? Was it because they looked similar?
I don't know. I guess because they just vibed with her. But there was no actual, like, legitimate audition or things like that. I'm like, Neve Campbell, Courtney Cox, and David Arquette, they all auditioned. Like, who is this Melissa girl getting approached to star in one of the most iconic franchises of all time? Like, one of the highest grossing horror movie franchises. Maybe and she's approached
to give like the flattest fucking performance of a lifetime.
And now she's in the sixth one. I'm like, oh my God, this is where the franchise died.
Genuinely enjoyed this movie. Thought it was entertaining. Thought it was fun. I don't feel like they needed or need to continue to make more though.
No, it doesn't need to happen. I mean, this one technically didn't need to. But yeah, for what it was, it's still enjoyable in some aspects. But again, I think I'm more worried now with how this story or this franchise is going to go, because without Sid and Gale, it really does become just another cash cow sequel, because if it's just going to keep on going, you know, removing themselves from that original storyline, then I don't really see where else it can go. I mean, I guess that's why Hayden's coming back, right? Because that's the only reason I'm excited for the sixth one now.
That's the only reason I'm excited. And like, also, they did have that whole chance of like doing two seasons and a special for the TV series, removing those legacy characters. They did that already, so I don't know why we have to do it now on the big screen.
Right. I don't know how much, like, Scream the television series was related to anybody with the franchise, though, because it really had nothing. There was no relation.
I really enjoyed the series because I think it was like that step away and it wasn't the same mask. And I think I removed the idea that it was like Scream from the equation in my mind. And it was just like another like slasher TV show.
I think with this one, if they just casted the right people, a lot of the qualms that people have had would be removed. Like, you could forgive the score not being the same, or, you know, the filming not being it, because, you know, each director has their own thing. But I think the too many people and just not the right people, I think, is the biggest reason the movie just flops.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Absolutely.
However, it made more money than Scream 4, which I even did the inflation. I went to the inflation count. I'm like, nah, this is bullshit. This is so fucked up. It's still the fourth in the series, but it doesn't beat Scream and 2 and 3, but it definitely beats Scream 4, unfortunately. Hmm.
I can't wait to go back and watch Scream 4 now. I'm so curious.
Yeah, it's go Scream 4, and then I'd go Scream 2 or Scream 3, just depending on the mood, because I think they both bring different things. Like, Scream 2 is very nostalgic, and it gives you that college, and, you know, it's definitely a very Scream feel. And Scream 3, if you want, like, camp and fucking just YOLO. Scream 3 has its own place, but and again, just had so many issues, like, with Kevin not being on... Kevin's script just being, like, thrown away. The script changes all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's very, like, of its time, which I like. But Scream 4, I think, is the closest you get to Scream with just, like... that is actually pretty... It's still, like, scary. It's still scary, but funny, and it's got characters that you believe, except Trevor. Jill's boyfriend. Mm-hmm. But everyone else is pretty iconic.
The only thing that I found that was like noteworthy about production at all, just that I thought was kind of interesting, was that to avoid any sort of like plot leaks, that they created numerous versions of the screenplay, and they also created like several additional scenes just in case anything got leaked. And I thought that was interesting. I wonder how many productions actually do stuff like that.
Yeah, I really like that idea, but then does that contribute to actors not really knowing who they are?
If there's a distinction being given to them that like this is not, is that confined to like just the writers, or are the actors included in knowing that, and that's more of, like, for the public?
Yeah, I'm not sure if the actors would know, right? Because they could easily leak it. That's like true. Like they leaked Skeet's name.
In some ways, you could think of it as like it could contribute to the building of a character if it's written and filmed in like an extremely authentic way that helps to give them a backstory. Yeah. But also if it's not written well because it's a throwaway for the writers, that would absolutely contribute to any sort of confusion.
Yeah. And I suppose like if you're seen in this one, you're meant to act this way, and then in this you're meant to act a different way, and you don't know which one is actually making the cut, I suppose how are you meant to really commit or like, you know, live as that character in your head, I suppose. I mean, if you're a talented actor or actress, you could, but I didn't really see them in this one, so...
Yeah, these people were maybe not the most capable bunch.
And I'm not saying I'm an actor, but I think, you know, as a viewer, we have the right to comment on how bad they were.
Absolutely.
Well, one thing I'm wondering also with, like, the script bits is, like, maybe they filmed so much and then just removed a lot of it, but then that's also so much money in production that they're just scrapping.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's why they ran out of money for the de-aging, maybe.
Also, like, the thing is, de-aging is not... I've watched, like, a lot of, like, visual effects, like, videos, and de-aging is, like, not that big of a process, or, like, budget-wise.
It's not?
No, it's, like... It's just like any other program, essentially. It just has more, like, tweaks that you do. Like, I know that a lot of, like, de-aging, they would take old reference and, like, kind of, you know, put it on top and, like, actually hand do it. But with, like, deepfakes now and, like, AI, it's, like, becoming extremely, like, prevalent and easy for people to do any sort of de-aging.
Yeah, and it's not like there's not tons of footage available of Skeet Ulrich. Like, I'm pretty sure you could figure it out.
Well, and also, like, we have, like, filters that we can use that de-age us now. Like, it's not something that's not, like, widely available either.
Maybe they made some sort of choice visually that we're just not understanding. But I'm not gonna. I'm not.
I think that's giving the directors too much credit.
I was just gonna say. I think I'm not willing to give them that credit.
No, they don't deserve.
Like
that.
I think the Vaseline effect in Scream 4. That's like, you know, Wes wanted it that way. I don't think these guys. I mean, they learned from Wes, right? That's what they keep saying. It's like, it's a love letter to Wes, and oh my God, it's like, girl, if this was my love letter, where's the receipt? Because
he's literally
I would
rolling
not want
in
this
his grave.
For sure he is.
Yeah, he would not be happy with this.
Oof, that would be a dagger, though. Like, if you were on a production and you knew that it was not going well, or you watched it back, I would feel such a level of shame being like, bro, I would be leaving flowers on that grave every day. Like, I'm so fucking sorry.
Yeah, but then they have Nevin Courtney saying, oh, it's just so amazing. Like, I don't know. I don't know how much of them. I just can't picture them saying that this is just as good as Scream, because, you know, that's what everyone kept saying, you know, it's just as good as the first. It's just, yeah,
I mean,
don't know.
They have to say that. It's part of their, like, contracts. Like, if they want to get paid, they have to say it. If they want people to go to the movie, they have to say it. They can't be like, this isn't a good movie. Don't go watch it.
Such an aside, but, like, I have to wonder what, like, how explicit those contracts are, because Killing Eve, I don't know if either of you watched Killing Eve, season 4 was absolutely fucking trash. It was terrible. They had a different writer, different showrunner. It ended in a horrible way. And the two main actresses, Jodie Comer and Sandra Oh, neither one of them did press for it. And neither, like, they both basically were silent on social media for, like, the following couple of weeks. They did not post anything like they had for previous seasons. Perhaps you're beholden to that to some extent, but if you are absolutely a critic of the work and you're not feeling like I can in good faith support this, I'm sure you could at some point be like, no.
Yeah, I agree.
That's also like, there's a new adaptation of a new Sally Rooney novel called Conversations with Friends it comes out today actually, and Jemima Kirk, who was
Jemima Kirk in Girls,
she like did an interview that was like, my character sucks. And is like, I didn't think that she was going to be this annoying. I don't know.
Well, Katherine Heigl did it with her character in Grey's Anatomy, but then she got blacklisted from Hollywood.
Yeah, so see, that's the thing.
Maybe what Nev and Courtney saw of their scenes, they thought it was amazing. I mean, I guess their scenes weren't bad.
Mm-hmm.
So for them, if that's all you've been exposed to, they could say, no, this is awesome. And the script could read really well. They didn't know that Melissa, what is that her name, was going to come in and ruin the whole movie.
Right, so. And I wonder how self-aware you can be about a project, even if objectively you're like, I know this performance isn't great. Are you still blinded by the entire process of it and not maybe able to see it for exactly what it is?
And like, as an actress, can you imagine coming back to do a movie that is like 25 years, you know, it's like, that's a pretty special thing, I guess, for the original three, to still be doing the, you know, these characters that everyone loves 25 years later.
Yeah, that's true. For them, it could have just been like such a great experience that they're just blinded by that.
One complete side note, but related to Katherine Heigl, I have some tea. I have a friend who I was just talking to recently who's working in Vancouver as an actor right now. And he was an extra on a movie with her. And he was like, I can confirm she is awful. She stepped on my foot and didn't apologize and just kept going.
What a good story to have for the rest of your life, though. Katherine Heigl stepped on my foot and said, shit.
You know
what? I would be like, step on my other
for real
foot.
Break my ankles, Katherine.
I love her.
Well.
Oh, that's it. That was my little story.
Do you think we should rate it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, what do you guys, you guys rate first.
So we have a rating system. So we have three different categories.
Yeah.
The first category, and they're all on a scale of 1 to 10. The first category that we rate by is scary. Now, the scale doesn't always apply to every movie. I think that, like, the later Scream movies, the scare factor is quite low because it's not really riding on it being, you know, scary. So for me, this is a pretty low score. I would say it was, like, a 2. I wasn't scared in this movie.
I would also probably say, like, 2.
I would go 4. Only not on the fact that it scared me, but just, like, the jump scare.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There were so many
not
scenes.
Not like legitimately fear.
There were so many scenes that they like did the fake out, like specifically around the fridge, so many times.
Yeah, it's called suspense.
Oh, read about it. I also think that part of that was them like poking fun at.
Right.
Yeah.
It was a little self-aware.
A little?
A little.
But it was extremely self-aware. This movie relies
this movie
on
was
being
like
self-aware.
Meta. They were like, we are a meta movie and we know that we are meta.
Mm-hmm.
They are Facebook meta. That's how meta they were.
Okay, so second category is
unsettling.
Thank you. essentially, how long did this movie stick with you? How long did you think about it afterwards? Were you, did you feel unsettled afterward?
Zero for me.
I felt disturbed.
Yeah, my unsettling was like only just thoughts about the acting and some of the writing, but as a whole, the movie, zero for me.
Oh yeah, I was a zero. It didn't unsettle me. I was more just thinking about it afterwards and how much I didn't like it.
Third category is story. So that's the writing. That's the way they pieced everything together.
Two.
I don't even know, because here's the thing. I feel as if there are things in this movie that are smart or are intelligent or interesting, and they were just written horribly. So I'm going to go more of like a 3.5 to a 4.
Yeah, I would go 4.
Wow.
Only because it had enough self-referencing of like the previous one, or I guess what, really the first and the fourth, but it had enough to tie you in to what it was. And I did like the spiel and like the legacy and the third act and all that stuff. Again, if it was just delivered by someone who was a bit more believable, it would have landed a lot stronger for me.
I'm also just like very curious for like any of our listeners who, you know, maybe haven't seen all of the Scream movies and this was their first dip into it, what they thought of it, because you know, it's a very interesting thing compared to like what our conversation is, to like if this was their first one, how they felt about that, because it could be a good movie for a lot of people who don't have like a lot of the backstory and are, they wouldn't get the, like, you know,
they're not holding it
legacy
the same
characters
standard
as much.
Well, I think Ben made a good point that like if you maybe hadn't seen any of the other movies, like this could just be a very standard Netflix movie.
Yeah.
Where for just like the newer generation of horror fans who have not really submerged themselves into more classic horror, they could be like, oh, it was great.
Yeah. And I guess their intent was really to make a movie that you don't need to have seen any other Scream movies to watch this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
So the final rating, is it a paper cut or is it a bloody massacre? It wasn't quite a paper cut for me. It had things that I liked about it, but it was certainly not a bloody massacre.
For me, it's one too many stab wounds in which I don't die from.
No, you mean 10 stabbings that you survive.
Yeah.
I'd go hard. Like, yeah, I'm just going to go a consistent 4 across the board. 4 out of 10.
Okay. Any closing thoughts, anybody?
I just hope Scream... I really... What I want for Scream 6 is for them to go, right, we've done our West shit, we've paid homage, we've done all that. What we're going to do now is really be ourselves, still have Scream, like build upon the Scream franchise, but let's actually do something original now. We don't need a carbon copy. We're going to use Hayden as the main chickadee. We're going to kill off the other four. They can just be a link, kill them off. And, you know, Gale can be investigating or doing some stuff. I think, yeah, they just need to make it its own iconic story. Because this one just wasn't that. It was just a remake or requel or whatever you want to call it.
Fully agree.
I'm going to get a requel tattooed on me.
I will block
Put it across your neck, like right on the side.
Ben, you don't even follow me, so don't even go there.
Called out.
Okay, let's not get into
Listen,
this.
Listen, off mic, you guys, off mic. So Ben, where can people follow you or check out your videos?
Well, I'm on Instagram at Gripping, G-R-I-P-P-I-N-G. Like, it's a gripping horror movie that this was not.
How the fuck did you get that?
I've had it for, like, since, like, whenever Instagram began, that's when I had it. I'm old school. And then I'm on YouTube, Ben Shouts, B-N-N, Shouts. But I don't really shout that often.
Perfect. No, but you're Ben and you're happy and you're back with another reaction.
Yeah, but this time I'm not back with another reaction. I'm back on a podcast.
True.
We'll have Ben tagged on our post if you want to check him out. Other than that, you can leave us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at Podcastacre, or leave us an email at thebloodypodcastacre@gmail.com. Until next time.
It's always someone you know.